Once upon a time, I was invited to a costume party hosted by Scott Coyer, the coolest kid in my fifth grade class. I remember fifth grade as the year that I first began to really pay attention to social hierarchy in my class and recognize that some people seemed to be at the top of the pyramid and others were closer to the bottom. Particularly as someone who seemed a bit closer to the bottom of the social pyramid, I was anxious to figure out what it was that landed people in different places in the hierarchy. Was I near the bottom because I still wore sweatpants every day when others had moved on to jeans? Or was it because word had gotten out that I wanted to grow up to be a singer like Mariah Carey? As far as I could tell, the most revered, popular kids were the ones who were the best at making fun of other people, which made the whole system, theologically speaking, a certain kind of hell. So back to the high-stakes costume party. I'd spent weeks figuring out whether to go as a clown or an army guy. I went back and forth for weeks and weeks until at the very last second, just as we were about to leave for the party, I changed my mind for the last time. I threw the clown costume aside and dressed in my army guy outfit. When I got to the party, you can only imagine my simultaneous terror and relief when I realized that it wasn't actually a costume party. It was an army-themed party. And at the end of the evening, I won the prize for best dressed. Now, you would think that this small miracle of good fortune would have left me feeling great about myself. The terror of the idea of wearing a clown costume to an army-themed party stuck with me, though. And I was freaked out because I recognized that I had escaped this massive embarrassment just by the skin of my teeth. And despite this small victory, I knew that the rules of the game were still rigged against me. They were not in my favor for the long term. Fast forward a couple of years, and I attended a summer camp where these rules of the hierarchy seemed to be turned upside down. There were certain folks, certainly, that were still more popular than others. But at this summer camp, they seemed to be the ones that were the warmest and the most welcoming. The people that won the respect and the love of others were those that invited newcomers into the circle, those that were kind and generous, the ones who fostered connection instead of competition. More love, less hate. I remember wondering, how does a place like this happen? I tried to figure out how these camp counselors had found the 60 kindest, most generous people in the whole United States and brought them together in this one place for a week every August. One conversation in particular has stuck with me. I was on a long walk with a new friend, and I don't remember exactly what I said, but I basically bragged to him that someone we were both close with had given me a friendship bracelet instead of him. And we all know that in the social currency of hippie love camp, friendship bracelets are the gold standard. So here I was, enjoying this person's company, and then saying this awful thing about who was closer friends with who. What I thought I knew about people and community was this boxing ring mentality, thinking that whoever throws the best punch wins. But my new friend responded to my meanness with love in a way that I literally did not know was possible. He made eye contact with me and smiled, and with total sincerity, he said how happy he was that I had found a home in this place. More connection, less competition. More love, less hate. Whatever nonsense I had learned about social hierarchy, whatever awful lessons I had internalized about how men were supposed to speak to each other, I saw for that moment at least for the ridiculousness that it was. I didn't feel shamed, but I did feel silly for having been stuck in this old way of thinking, believing that competition and put-downs and scarcity would get me somewhere. I had thought I was in this boxing ring, and this beautiful person instead was teaching me to dance. How jarringly unexpected and beautiful. He had literally loved the hell out of me. Years later, as a college student, I was at a training for activist street medics. These are the folks that provide free medical care to those who are injured in protests. So we learned how to get tear gas out of someone's eyes and how to deal with broken bones or heat exhaustion. But the training also included how to build beloved community, how to take care not just of tear gas eyes or of wounded skinned knees, but how to take care of each other in more significant ways as well. At the beginning of the training, we were asked to introduce ourselves by sharing our name, where we were from, and what gender pronouns we wanted people to use for us, whether we wanted people to call us by he or she or they or something else. I was awestruck. All my life, people had read my gender in complicated and sometimes painful ways. And this was the first time that anyone had ever explicitly offered me the option of identifying as I wanted. No one had ever asked me before who I wanted to be in this way. Going on then after that, to learn the stories of transgendered people in my life and in my reading, my mind and my heart began to open as I recognized how the multitude of behaviors, feelings, thoughts, and preferences that make me who I am had been carved up into these narrow boxes of male and female. There is such a long list of expectations and demands that we are trained into of masculinity or femininity. And for the first time, having the option to pick from that list which ones were true to me and which ones I might just be able to leave behind was such a powerful invitation. Gender is so complicated, and we know that when we step out of those narrow boxes, it can be enforced with cruelty. In my own life, I had been teased in all different kinds of places for different ways that I didn't fit strictly into that masculine box. This resulted in a kind of silly conversation in an awkward workplace environment in college. I had a summer job for a couple years in college working at a small landscaping company. My boss was an odd and awkward man, and among other uncomfortable things he did, he told all of my coworkers that I was homosexual. I'm not, and it didn't seem important at the time to correct him or them, because it just didn't matter much. But that resulted in this kind of funny conversation I had with a coworker. We were digging around in someone's backyard in the town that I grew up in, and somebody stepped out of the house where we were working. I turned to my coworker and I said, "Oh, I know that guy. I went to high school with him. And apparently he lives here." And she said, "Well, you should go say hi to him." I said, "Oh, no, I don't want to say hi to him. He was super mean to me in high school." "Oh," she said, "because of the gay thing?" "Well, yeah, actually. That was what I got teased about, but I couldn't even begin to unravel for her all the complexities of being of the gay thing for a straight guy." And conversations like this have been a part of not just workplace environments, but all kinds of places in my life. This invitation to share my pronoun, to for the first time claim masculinity, to claim he as the kind of person I wanted to be, was an eye-opening and heart-opening experience. You don't have to call yourself what the rest of the world has always called you. How terrifying, though, because if I don't call myself he, then maybe I don't have to act like a he. To have all these options, first of the language I might use, opens up all kinds of options of the behaviors that I might claim. This invitation had loved the hell out of the room. It had expanded the possibilities for all of us sitting in that circle, ready for this training, to bring our full selves with all of our beautiful complexities into the space together. The violence in our world isn't just about guns and hate speech. It's not even just about gender boxes that narrowly define our complex identities. It's also in the school-to-prison pipeline and the criminalization of black and brown bodies and our systems of healthcare and transportation and housing. I have a role in those systems, whether I like it or not. And so I'm looking for the spaces, for the people, that can teach me the skills of beloved community, that can teach me to dance when I thought I was in the boxing ring. I'm looking for the people that can extend that invitation that invites our whole complicated selves into the room together. I have so much to learn about how to respond to conflict with more understanding. Would you say understanding? I have so much to learn about the ways my gender and race and class background intersect with the world around me. I have so much to learn about how communities organize ourselves for love and justice. Would you say organize?
Organize.
I have so much to learn about what it looks like, the skills, the tools, the questions, and invitations for standing on the side of love. Would you say love? As a white guy with a middle-class background, I sometimes feel like I happen to wear the right costume to the party, so that by some accidental miracle, things look more equitable than they are, or my community looks safer than it really is. I need mentors so badly because the nonsense I've internalized about how things work looks like it is still with me, and I'm still learning what it looks like to find those moments of invitation, those moments of dancing, those moments of love instead of hate, the moments of connection instead of competition. Friends, I invite you to join me in seeking out those moments that can show us a better way we didn't know was possible. I invite you to seek out those questions, those invitations that invite each other to bring our whole complex selves into the room together. I invite you to seek out the skills for beloved community, the tools and questions we might offer to each other, the tools for less competition and more connection. Would you say connection?
Connection.
For less hate and more love. Would you say love?
Love.
So help us, God, more peace and less violence. Would you say peace?
Peace.
More possibilities beyond the narrow boxes that have defined us. More communities of love and justice. More opportunities to join together and stand on the side of love wherever we might find it. Would you say love?
Love.